Check, check. Matt and Abby are so near and dear to our hearts, our whole family's hearts. We love you guys so much. You guys are blessed, blessed, blessed. All right. I have about 5 messages in me now. When I got here, it was 4. Now I've got another one. It's weird, isn't it, when you get up here? It's like you just got to trust that God knows what you need to hear because I have studied this topic. So CrossFit, that's what you're entering into. The men are doing CrossPoint. You're doing CrossFit, the real, authentic, true CrossFit. So I've studied this topic for, you know, my whole life. I've been teaching group exercise for 36 years. Never stopped. Well, I stopped for one pregnancy for 5 months and then got right back in again after that. And I tried to work out by myself for a while and it wasn't there. It was like God said, no, that thing in you is it is from me and it's to be used for the body of Christ. And so I enjoy working out, but what I'm here for is for you. So suck the life out of me. Like, whatever you want. I'm serious. It's 36 years of stuff that I've just got a lot of answers that he's given me and secrets. And they're not well received in the world a lot of times. You know, I don't get to just share this stuff with my gym crowd or the industry. I have created a new, the Lord gave me this, called PX3 for life. In red, life. And that's going to give me the platform to bring a more spiritual perspective into this area. Because, you know, this is a God thing. This whole health and fitness thing is about the Lord. You can get some temporary success by, you know, counting your calories and working out. But if we're talking about lasting change and energy that stays the course forever so that we can do the will of God, we don't want people hindered. You know, we've got some stuff to do. And when you're too tired and when your body starts breaking down and you're too busy going to the doctor and getting your meds, you're not, you can send people, you can give them money and send them, but even the money starts to run dry if you can't get out there and earn it, right? So it's just, we need to be ready in season and out, and your body needs to be strong. And so the word life in the Bible, a lot of times it infers health. And so it's, you know, you can't, you, a lot of times we just think of life as everlasting life, eternal life, living forever. But God says abundance is the kind of life I came to give you. Abundant, like abundant. That means more than enough for you. So what is your life really about? It's not you. No. That body you have is not about you. I don't know if anybody told you yet, but no, God, of course, wants to bless you. And, you know, he wants you to be happy and fulfilled. But you are a vessel of honor. And everything that comes in you is supposed to go out of you. Every revelation, every word, every bit of energy, every bit of strength, that has a purpose. And when you connect all of this to a purpose bigger than yourself, things just flow. Grace is there. When you're trying to exercise, so I'm not here, this should be a good word, I'm not here to tell you to exercise and eat right. I'm not going to tell you, you need more discipline in your life, because that's not the solution. You could put that on and eat like K for a couple weeks. But after a couple weeks, you're going to go like, I want my hamburger or whatever you like. I don't know what you like, my cupcakes. But K obviously has attached this lifestyle to something greater than herself, right? Like, are you still eating pretty clean? Yeah, so why? What has given you the staying power? Okay, I'll tell you. God. A meaningful connection. Everybody say it. That's what gives you endurance. Meaningful connection to a person called Jesus. It's a relationship only. It's love that provides the motivation for a lifetime to stay fit. You can lose weight for a cruise or to put your bathing suit on for the summer or wear your tank tops or whatever. But if you need your motivation to last a lifetime, it is always relationship-based. And that's my secret to you. I can't tell the world that because they're like, what are you talking about? God, doesn't he just make you follow a bunch of rules? You know. But this is the second part to this story. See, I haven't even looked at my notes. This is message six. The whole note thing, it's like, we know that this is for my preparation. It has nothing to do with what you're going to get. No, hopefully it will have a little to do because it's really good. But what was I going to say? The life begins in the overflow. So just let that sink in for a minute. Life, like when you see somebody that's living, it's because they are filled up and you're seeing the overflow, right? So that's why he said, I came to give you abundant life. I didn't come just so that you could keep breathing and eating and sleeping and waking up and taking your kids to school and seeing your husband and doing the same thing over and over and over. Like, yuck. Ho-hum. You can do that for 35 years and then after that, you're like, I need something more. This isn't working for me. Like, why get up? Why, I really like my bed. Why get out of bed? Why take another breath? Why go to church? Why? You need to have a connection, a really true, meaningful connection, a love-based, an intimate, radical relationship with Jesus. Because without that, nothing else satisfies. I was going to say it doesn't matter. It kind of doesn't matter, but sometimes it matters. I mean, when you're doing the duties of, you know, taking care of a household and doing what you should be doing everywhere, we appreciate it all, right? We need each other's help. But as far as you go, you're going to die. Like your spirit, which is what you are. You're a spirit. You're a living, speaking, breathing, speaking spirit. Genesis 2:7. A living being means you're a speaking spirit, and you're a speaking spirit because you're created in the image of God to create. That's why you speak as a spirit. Your spirit speaks to design your life for you, to create your life for you. That's why you speak and the dog doesn't and the cat doesn't. You get to create the life you want to live. So this word is empowerment. It is power, like it's so much power you don't even know. It is so radical. We are so much more afraid of what we carry than what we don't, and that's the reason for our compromise in life. Our, you know, we're huge. We are absolutely huge because of what Jesus did for us. So when you really get a handle on that and you start tapping in and accessing that, you'll never have to think about your diet again. You don't have to think about what you're eating. You don't have to think about working. You just will have supernatural energy. You will have the motivation to choose life at mealtime. You'll sit down at breakfast and you'll be like, what can fuel my body? Because I got some stuff to do. And if I eat the donut, it's not going to fuel me. I'm going to be asleep at 10 o'clock. And I got some stuff to do. I got some people to love. I got some stuff to deliver. I got some life in me that's like, I'm so full of life, it hurts. If I don't get this out of me, I'm going to go crazy. I don't know if you know Jeremiah. He said, the word is like, it's fire shut up in my bones. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts so bad. And I remember the day when I was like, I got to get it out of me. It was at New Covenant, I think. And I'm like, Pastor Roger, I'm like, you know, and he gave me the mic. Like, he didn't even ask me, who are you? What do you need to say to the people? I'm like, I don't know. I just know that this is coming out of me. And God just, that's boom. That's when, like, the floodgates opened. And that was kind of the beginning of a prophetic ministry that was in me all along. It's just I had gotten so full. And that's what happens. Abundant life means you are so full of him because of this. So don't you worry about your food and your exercise. You just keep eating this. You eat it and you eat it and you eat it. He has called you to himself. He didn't call you to a ministry. He didn't call you to a duty, a bunch of rules, a bunch of tasks. He called you to him. And it says that in the Gospels all the time. He called the disciples to himself, to himself, to himself. He created you for relationship. So this is it, John 17:3. Everything I do in life always comes back to John 17:3. For this is eternal life, that you would know him and the one whom he has sent. Okay, the word know, that's not like intellectual knowledge of God. That is intimacy. That is experiential. It's gnosko, G-N-O-S-K-O. Gnosko, it's an experiential knowledge of God. So you eat the word, Joshua 1:9, like Abby said. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Be brave. Now, usually I look at the word as affirmative. So that was interesting that it was like, do not, do not, do not. Because I don't spend a whole lot of time in the Old Testament anymore. And in the New Testament, everything's telling us what to do, what to do, what to put on, you know, what to wear. It's the revelation of your righteousness is in the New Testament. And so I spend a lot of time meditating on that. Who am I? And I know you just got finished with identity, right? God says the problem is not in the what you're doing. The problem is you don't know who you are. And once you get it, once you get who you are, all of the doings just take care of themselves. As an athlete, I train because it's just what athletes do, right? I don't think about exercising. It's just that I'm an athlete. And that's where my identity, I have that connection there. I identify with athletes. And not everybody would look at me as an athlete. They just think I go teach classes or whatever. But my identity is connected in that place. And I know that athletes train, and I just get up and train because that's what athletes do. Dancers dance. Writers write. I'm a writer, too, and I can't stop writing every day. Just keeps coming out, coming out, coming out. It doesn't stop. So what, who are you? What do you do a lot of? If you don't know who you are, look at what you're doing all the time. You're compelled. That will help you to identify where your identity is rooted right now. Now, if you are spending a lot of time doing nothing, look deeper. What's going on there? Because your identity is connected to that action or that behavior. Right? I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm an ambassador. I carry the word and it comes out of me. I don't think about it. I just have identified so strongly with being an ambassador that it just comes out. Go back to your identity. Who am I? Wait a minute. Why am I afraid to speak? I must be identifying with the old man. Now, this is like the hugest, hugest deal ever. We have a sin consciousness, that's our old life. And we have a righteousness consciousness. Where are you going to live? If you're always struggling, if you're saying, ugh, I'm struggling, I'm trying to eat right, I'm trying to work out, I'm trying to be a good wife, I'm trying to be a good mom, you are thinking that you're a sinner. And you're not. You were. But what does the word say? a sinner saved by grace. Now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if you haven't made that shift, and you might think you have, but if you look at your behavior and you look at your struggle, you'll realize, if I really thought I was holy, pure, and blameless, endowed with the power of God, why would I ever say that I struggle? You wouldn't say it. So just be honest. No condemnation, right? This is where you're, this is how simple it really is. If you can just let light come in and just admit, like, oh my gosh, in that area, I'm still identifying with my old nature. I got to cut that. Like, it's no longer me who lives, but Christ who lives in me, right? Galatians 2:20. That one should just be over and over. And Pastor Roger, I'm dead to sin, alive to God, dead to sin, alive to God. That's what I always think of when I think of him. That revelation just got so quickened because he would just repeat the same thing every week. And that was beautiful because there were some mantras. I mean, mantras, like better than yogis. We've got our mantras and you need your mantras, these ones. You don't need the ones from the world. It's, you know, they help because you know what? Some of the world, like a lot of the world that I'm very much a part of right now through online business, oh my gosh, you guys, they have more of a handle on this, on their righteousness and their greatness and their empowerment. But unfortunately, some of them don't know that Jesus is the one that bought that for us. So here I am, like God told me I had to go into all the world. He sent me out there with all those people. And so I'm in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. No, I'm in the middle of all these gurus. I mean, these are spiritual people. This is where he's put me. Spiritualists. I'm out there with them trying to like build bridges. And love. And people are like, why aren't you talking about Jesus anymore? I'm like, well, I'm in business. So I got to be careful. And that's not because I am one of the boldest people you'll ever meet. But when it comes to business, I need to respect and honor and love. So I have had an education in love unlike anything. I've been saved for 20 years and I have been loving more powerfully the past 2 years than I ever did before. I thought I was loving, and it's okay. We do what we know to do. And my heart was always pure in everything I did. But I was sharing the word with people that had no business hearing the word. They're not spiritual yet. They're still living in a natural realm. And this is spiritual stuff. This is written to the spirit of man, not the natural mind. So if you're trying to share the word of God to a natural mind, they're like, right, foolishness. It's foolishness to them that are perishing. So what do? We love them. We listen to them. Listening is one of your best love. You don't have to talk. Just shut up and listen. Like, wait, can you tell me more about that? Now, where do you get your power? How does this strength come through in your life? How does the consistency, you know, I don't know, I ask a lot of questions now. I do, and I listen, and people are like, oh my gosh, who is she? What is she? It's a mystery to them. And we know the secret, it's Christ in us, right? It's our hope of glory. Now, he wants you glorified. You. Maybe we should find that verse. Go to 2 Corinthians. This was kind of a trip because we're so into glorifying God, right? We would like glorify God, glorify God. And then a little while ago, he said, baby, that's what he calls me. Baby, let me show you something. 1 Corinthians 2:7. Got the twos mixed up. Okay, so we have a bunch of wisdom in the world regarding health and fitness. There's all kinds of information out there. We do not lack information about getting healthy and fit, right? Hey, let me ask you a question. What do you need to do to lose weight and get fit? Raise your hand if you know. Come on, raise your hand if you know. What do you have to do to lose weight and get fit? Do you know? Just raise your hand, because just admit it, you know. You don't. Really? You don't. Okay. Do you agree that if you eat better and exercise more, something good will happen? Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm thinking maybe you tried it and it didn't work. Is that what you're thinking? Well, I tried that and it didn't. Consistency. I have to do that for a long time. Okay. Okay, well, I'm a little surprised, because I thought you were all going to raise your hand and go, yeah, I know. If you eat less food that just doesn't nourish your body and you exercise more, then usually you'll lose weight and get healthier. That's pretty common knowledge. Now, the world has made all, you know, they have to have scientific research to back up everything that they do. So, I mean, they're still spending billions of dollars so that they could tell us regular exercise has anti-aging benefits. I'm serious. I read it like a month ago. A new study has documented. I'm like, wow. They're still studying the effects of exercise on aging. It's true. Exercise will slow down your, you know, it regenerates cells so you can get that youth or whatever. But I just thought it was amazing that we're still spending money on this. Eat more vegetables, eat more raw and living foods, and your body will produce more health. So that's pretty common knowledge. I believe I carry the cure for cancer. They're still out. Don't you think we have it? Kay knows. I'm going to tell you right now, there's three secrets here to annihilating disease and obesity. Anti-inflammatory diet, daily exercise, and meaningful connection, love-based relationship. You dial those three things in, and you don't have to worry about being sick. I can't tell you when I was sick. I do not know the last time I was sick. I don't even know. It's not an issue. My kids start to get a little sniffles and like, something's coming in. I'm like, oh, that thing is so not welcome in this house. Go. Tell it to go. I never say to my kids, lay down, honey, let's put a movie in and get you some whatever you want. I don't make this enjoyable. I don't want to reward that, even though it's nice to have them home or whatever. No, that's not welcome. That's not from God, right? Once you get that, it's like, no, you take authority over that stuff. Anyway, so we don't welcome it into our house. I don't have kids at home sick. It's just not what we do in our house. And that might sound arrogant and weird, but all it is a revelation of who we are. That's who we are. That stuff doesn't come in our house. We don't have any place for it. So, now what was I going to tell you when I started with this? 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, but we speak, that's what I was saying. So in the world, we have all these methods and these ways to lose weight and to get healthy. But that's not the kingdom that we dwell in. We're in the kingdom of God. That's the world. So let's not think that we have to go over there for our solutions, because we have a better one. So that's what I'm here for, to start you off on this CrossFit thing, getting you in the kingdom of God, okay? So I'm going to share some more secrets with you in just a minute, but look at this one. So we don't speak the wisdom of this age. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. Now, it says a hidden mystery, but we get it. The mystery is revealed as Christ in us. You know the mystery. The mystery is Christ in you. Your hope of glory. Okay, now look at what it says at the end of that. God ordained this wisdom, this mystery, before the ages for what? Our glory, not his, for your glory. So stop putting it off on God and saying, I just got to do all this for God's glory, for God's Lord, just let us glorify you, let us glorify you. Let me tell you, when you are glorified, he's glorified. People will look at you and go, oh my God, what, oh my God is right. That's what they're seeing. They're seeing an expression of God on the earth, and they don't understand it. They think you're disciplined and nice. I had a neighbor that said, oh my gosh, those Carnalunis are so nice. They wouldn't talk to us. Like, we never had a whole lot of interaction. And then some other friends said they had nothing but wonderful things to say about us. But because we were so nice, it was a little intimidating. They were partiers, and I love them. Now I have a relationship because I heard that, and I was like, oh, God, help me get closer to people. Like, they're intimidated, or they think we're judging. You know how sin judges you. I'm not judging anybody, but your own sin. When you choose to walk contrary to your God nature, there's going to be a fight. There's a war going on, and you think other people are judging you, and it's your own sin that's judging you. So if you feel that war going on inside of you as a Christian, you can stop and go, oh, I know what's going on. I'm choosing to live contrary to my God nature. And that's not going to work. It works for them because they are not saved. But I'm telling you, once you've been born again, you don't get to do that anymore. And praise the Lord. This is a good thing. This is good. It really is good. Okay, so do you understand that God came to give you abundant life? He wants you to be glorified on the earth. And once you have the glory, you get to give it to him in the right way. Don't offend people and say, oh, all praise, glory, go to God. And they don't even know God. And they're like, whatever. I'm trying to give you a compliment. You know, sometimes we don't. And I was there. I get it. But I'm so much more sensitive to people now and their motives. They want to love you. They want to connect with you. Let's help them. Let's help them and take whatever they can give us. And then when we're by ourselves, we can go, oh, God, you're amazing. Look what just happened. Because you gave me the grace to live the life I'm living. And the overflow splashes onto everybody. It splashes. I mean, people down your street, around the corner, I mean, they should be experiencing blessing because the God of the universe lives in your house. And guess who he is? He's good. His glory is his goodness. He told Moses, my goodness. He couldn't, you know, he had to hide him in the cleft of the rock. And he said, when my goodness goes by, Moses was like, I just want to see your glory. And he's like, he didn't say glory. He said, goodness, my goodness is going to pass by you. His glory is his goodness. And when people see the goodness in your life, they're like, it's got to be God. You know, he don't worry about glorifying him. Just live an abundant life, abundant in health, abundant in love, abundant in resources, abilities, everything, abundant, too much. I got too much love around here. I got to get rid of it. A friend of mine said, how come you guys always have everything we need for a party? Like, there'd be a party going on. They'd be like, wait, go ask the Carnalunis. They've got the coffee thing, the tablecloths, the chairs. Like, whatever you need, we have. We didn't try to get this. God just made us a storehouse. And the funny thing is, years ago, I prayed that we would be a distribution center. Has anybody ever done that? That was weird. You know how we go through seasons in life, and that was just a season where I was like, just use me. Here I am. Use me. I just want to be a distribution center, God, whatever you need, you know. And then all of a sudden people are coming to us asking for random things, and we had the random things. And I was like, wow, isn't that cool? And so, anyways, very, very sweet. So, if the answer to your question or the solution to your problem is not a revelation of Christ in you, then you don't know what your problem is. Yeah. He's the answer to every question, and he's the solution to every problem. So you're struggling with weight. You're like, why can't I get this weight off? Your solution is him. And it's not just him separate from me. It's him in me. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives. So if you think you have a weight problem, that must be the old man talking, because Jesus has no problem with his weight. Right? He doesn't have any sickness. He doesn't have headaches. He doesn't have any of that. So who do you really think you are? Right? I love you guys, because this is deep stuff that a lot of people don't get. So I'm trying to talk slow so you can really get this revelation. Because this is the mystery of the gospel, right here. This is the secret to wealth. Does he have a problem with money? No. Hugo and I have been growing in this area radically. I can't even tell you the revelation that we've gained. And then now we're beginning to see the manifestation of it. And I'm telling you, it looks exactly opposite of where it's taking us. You look like you're losing everything and you have nothing, and yet you're gaining everything. Oh my gosh, you guys, we're so brainwashed into thinking the world's way. We don't live in that OS. We have a new operating system over here, and it literally is upside down and backwards and all crazy looking. And if you don't put on your Christ identity, you will get stuck in the middle. And it's really scary in the middle. Like, it's not fun. It would be better to not be saved. It would. It would be a lot easier and more fun to be over here than to be saved and be living this conservative, what is that? It's a conservative Christian church. You're like, wait, there's nothing conservative about this. Not nothing. I'm serious. So people say, you're so extreme. Go praise the Lord. Under your breath, praise the Lord. Because he was a revolutionary. He messed things up. He took every paradigm and he just messed it up. And people were like, whatever. They didn't understand, because he was speaking in mysteries. He was speaking a spiritual language, and the world doesn't understand that. And they don't have to understand it, and you don't have to explain yourself. You just quietly go about hiding under the shadow of his wing, right? Psalm 91. Go to the secret place, because he's called you to himself. Eternal life is that you would know him intimately, experientially, that when you sat down to eat food, you would be so connected to God that your desires change. You now have a purpose in life. You've got some stuff to do. You've got some goods to deliver. You want to feel good. You want to look good. You want to move well. You want to have power, energy, strength. Because that's the God in you. That's who you are now. You're not God. I don't believe you're God. But you're God on the earth, right? You get that. He's sitting up there, seated at the right hand of the Father. Done. He said, I'm done. It's finished. I am finished. Here's the keys, here's my name, here's the blood, my blood shed for you. I've given you everything you need. Now you go and do and be witnesses. When you're sitting there doing nothing, you're carrying, you're a mobile throne. You have the life of God in you right now. Just doing nothing is like, there's stuff coming out of you. When people sit down next to you, they feel it. There's an energy in you because it's God. It should be a good energy. Now, if you're more identified with your sin nature, people sit down next to you and they're going to go, ew. People that are spiritual, you know, they'll feel that something's not quite happy, powerful. You can sense that. So your work, if there is a work, I think it's rest, right? Enter into the rest of faith. He gave you faith. Just relax. You have enough faith. Don't ever say, I don't have the faith that you... People all the time come to me and say, you have so much faith. I wish I had faith like you. I'm like, you got the same faith. We all got the measure. And it's God's faith. It's not like human faith. It's the very same faith that he has. He gave us a part of it. It's Christ's faith. So the same faith that brought the Holy Spirit, the power to raise him from the dead, the same. Everything's the same. The power's the same. The faith is the same. The mind of Christ is in you. Your job is just to align your natural mind with the mind of Christ has already been put in you, as 2 Corinthians said. So it's there. You just need to quicken. You just need to renew your natural mind to his. Bring everything into agreement. How can two walk together unless they're in agreement? So Christ is in you. And now you're out here walking according to the sin nature, thinking that you have a problem losing weight. You don't have a problem losing weight. You have a problem thinking that you're that old person. So you started with identity. So you're just going to keep that identity thing going through this CrossFit thing. You keep saying, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. It's no longer I who live. I'm dead to sin, alive unto God. I'm dead to sin, alive unto God. Go home today and write down three mantras, three scriptures or three things that just, you are just going to meditate on those. You're going to chew on them all day long, every day. They're just going to keep coming up. Pretty soon that thing is going to manifest and the very word of God is going to become flesh on the earth just like it did with Jesus. Right? The word becomes flesh. The secret mystery of the kingdom of God is sowing. So the mystery of the gospel is Christ in you, your hope of glory. Okay, you get the glory of living an abundant life of overflow. That's the secret. Christ is already in you, okay? And then the mystery to the, what was the second one I said? The kingdom of God. The mystery there is sowing seed. So this is our seed. The word is seed, and money is seed, and time is seed. We've got lots of seeds, but the number one mystery is first the word. So we sow the word. We keep sowing it. It's alive and active. It's a seed, and it what does it produce? Zoe, the life of God. If you want to walk in the power of the resurrection, this is what you got to plant. It's just the produce of what you plant. So Christ is in you. His mind is in you. But if you don't know that by reading this, you won't ever be able to access it, just like the inheritance that was left to you by your, you've heard that. So your grandparents left you $1 million, right? When they went on and you didn't know about it and therefore you never got to access the million. That would just be awful, wouldn't it? So it's the same thing. I mean, this is better than $1 million. This is the true riches of heaven. All the resources, all the abilities of heaven are right here for you. Like, all you got to do is take them. You take them by faith. You put it on. You read it. Speak it. Faith comes by hearing. So you got to say it so that you can hear it. You got to hear Matt and Abby say it. You got to hear each other. You speak to one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. Don't be afraid to do that. Freak your sister out. No, you don't have to sing, but sometimes in our house with my girls are so awesome, but we just start like talking to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Like, we don't use words. We just start using only scripture or songs. Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. So you could do that in your house with your kids. Like, nope, not, you're only allowed to say a song, verse, or lyrics to a, I don't know, psalm or whatever. It's so funny. So we crack up, but it's life-giving. I have a friend that's going through a terrible, awful situation right now. And so she texted me the other night and said, if you could pray, you know, I'm having a hard time. And so I wrote her back because I needed words of life. She was dying. And she goes, oh my gosh, thank you. Now, I never talked to her about words in my life. She's kind of a new friend. A friend sent her to me, said, you need to call this person. And so she called me and came to my house and literally like spilled her guts, and I'm trying to help her through this. And I'm giving her words. And she goes, thank you so much for all of your kind words. She said that. And I said, I have to tell you that words are life or death. And you need life right now. So anytime you need, you feel like you're shriveling up and dying, tell me and I will send you words. I mean, it was like a flower, you know, you're giving water to a flower. It's like all shriveled up and dying. And like you put the word in. Now, she didn't know it was Bible, but I read. And so this is all that comes out of me. But I don't put the reference anymore because why? People freak out. Oh, so I put it in my own words. And you know what? God loves it. It's okay. It's not like copyright infringement or whatever. Why don't you give credit to God? Well, to you, Christian, you love that because now you can go find it. But people don't know that. And they see Bible verses and some of them will run the other way because you're one of those. And you are judging people and you're being a hypocrite. So let's just mind our own business and live an abundant life and blow people away with our love. Because the power to lose weight, the power to get wealth, the power to love others, the power to succeed in every area of life is only about intimacy with God. That is all. That is all. So you said you talked about emotions a little bit. When I see people that are very overweight, I see all of the weight as emotion that was never given its rightful place. Addiction is only a lack of ability to communicate emotion. That's all it is. So you don't know what to do with your feelings and your thoughts. So you got to get away from them. I don't know if anybody's ever been addicted to a substance, or many Christians are addicted to food still. That's a kind of a more acceptable one, I think. But it could be an addiction to anything. Whenever you use a substance to try to meet an emotional need, that's what addiction is. So why would you use a substance to meet an emotional need? Because you don't know what to do with your emotions. You've never been taught how to speak what you are feeling in a way that wouldn't possibly offend. A lot of times when you don't know how to do it, you end up, looks like you're blaming other people. Well, there's an appropriate way to express your emotions by always putting I first. Don't say, you make me so mad. No, nobody can make you mad. The mad is already in you. Yeah? I have so much anger in me right now, and whatever you just did triggered it, and I don't know what to do with it. Chloe said that to me the other day. She got out of the car. She was so mad at her brother. She got at my daughter, who's 17. And we were away, and she was doing, like, mom kind of driving the other siblings around, you know. And she got to the dance studio to drop off Cammy, and she got out of the car, and she goes, like, Mom, I'm so angry right now. I don't even know what to do with all this anger. I just want to kill him. I just want to kill. And I was so proud of her. It was, like, the most precious thing ever. She didn't deny that the anger was there. She didn't try to blame Marco for her anger. She owned it all and said, I don't know. It's scaring me. I'm so glad I'm off the freeway, because I could have. She didn't go that far. But I'm so proud of her for doing that. I go, you're awesome. Because right there, boom, light. Light dispels darkness. So that anger was exposed, and therefore Satan had no part. He couldn't get a hold of it. Satan can only go into dark places where things are hiding. So if you're struggling with an emotion, just say it. Tell somebody that you can trust. You don't have to tell everybody. But tell, yeah, I learned that too. Like, do you know that if you get naked in front of too many people, they'll hate you? I mean, transparent, you know, like when you spill your guts. I went through a time when I was like, God wants us to just pour out our hearts. Well, he's like, to him, you know, and he wants you to, he wants truth, but be careful who you share with, because some people do not know what to do with you, and they get scared and they go away, you know, they get far away. Anyways, so I talked with Chloe, you know, and told her how great she was, and to just keep getting it out, get it out, get it out. So she was able to express the anger in an appropriate way without hurting. What's appropriate? Not in sin. It says, be angry. The Bible says, be angry. You need to be angry. You're going to get angry. But don't sin. Right? So if you're angry, which a lot of us have anger that we're afraid of, and that anger, if it never gets expressed or acknowledged or identified, you have to shut it up, because it will hurt you. It will, you know, it's uncomfortable. So you eat, you go to bed and sleep to escape. You drink, you, whatever you do, I don't know, everybody has their thing. So instead of that, you identify the emotion, say, I'm really angry right now. You talk about it, you get prayer, you put on the new man. Because Jesus isn't angry, except for that, you know, the table thing. There's some righteous anger that will come up when you see, right, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit or whatever. There's going to be some things that are going to make you righteously angry. But that kind of anger doesn't usually scare you. You know, it feels right. Feels appropriate. You should be angry at unrighteousness. So that's what I want to challenge you guys with. Get a journal as you go through this. Let that be your weight loss strategy. A journal. And just get intimate and deep and real with God every single day. Get your scriptures, get three. Sometimes too many can be overwhelming and you'll just like sabotage. Oh, whatever, you know, you forget. Or one, maybe one's enough for you for the whole week. Over and over and over. Meditate on it. Chew it. Spit it out. Swallow it again like the cow. Regurgitate. Because he is the way. That's why you're here. This place. That's the mandate. You're already under that anointing. So take advantage of that. Right? There's an anointing on this place for that message right there. He is the way to weight loss. He is the way to health and wealth and evangelism. And I mean, whatever needs to happen in and through this place is only going to happen by that mission and mandate. He is the way. To everything. And you guys are the carriers of that message. So you need to live that first and foremost and experience that. And then you'll start talking about your church, and like you won't even try to talk about your church. It will just come out of you because It's just so in you. It's in your fiber. It's who you are. He's the truth. We need truth to set us free from self-inflicted captivity. That's what's happening now, is that we are holding ourselves captive. Not the devil. We don't have to worry about him. He is so powerless. It's your own thinking that's keeping you captive, right? It's self-imposed. So you put on truth. You acknowledge the lie that you're believing, that you're living in sin consciousness. I'm not this person anymore, and I keep thinking I am. You don't struggle with losing weight. You don't struggle with discipline and self-control. Why would you? He's in you. He said in, where's the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Somebody said to us, can you pray for me? I really need more self-control. I go, no. I'm not going to keep praying for people, right? Now it's your turn to choose to believe it. It says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We enter into his very presence. He's enthroned in the what? Praises. We don't even get into his presence without praising him. We don't get into his presence, his power, his life, by asking for things that he's already given us. And he told us to ask, and there are some things that I still ask for just because he told me to ask. But I am not in the habit of asking. I'm really bad about asking. But he said, ask. I'm like, all right, God, I'm asking you because you told me to ask. But then right away, I'm like praising him. Praising him, oh my gosh, and thanking him for what he's already given me. It's already done. He gave you the self-control. He gave you the discipline. He told you to choose life at mealtimes. So if I'm going to choose life, what does that look like on my plate? Something green. There's got to be something green. Really? Life looks colorful. It's just pretty to look at. So you can look at two plates, and one looks like death and one looks like life, and I don't even have to tell you any more than that. I just think you know. And when you start knowing and taking responsibility for what you know, and that's why I'm a life coach too, and I'm a life faith and fitness coach. I can't do it without faith anymore. It's getting too hard. So, because you have to put on this new identity by faith. And so when I say to people, who are you? And they start telling me, I'm like, and then the next sentence is like, but I know I should. But I know I really am great. But I know I really do carry a lot of power. You know, all of that struggle is going on in people. So it's that shit, making that shift to that new identity. You believe that you are who he says you are. And I'm telling you, the freedom and the power in that one revelation, that's all you need every day, every day. It's no longer me who's living. It's him. What happens if Jesus is in you? You jump out of bed in the morning. You have a thing. You got some stuff to do. Your life becomes so purposeful. Because you know why? Even if he hasn't shown you details about your future, you carry God. And what does God do? He loves people. And you get excited to go to the gym or to go to work or to whatever just because you love people and you want to know what's going on in their lives. And just your relationships with others, it becomes alive because it's so filled with purpose. They need a presence of God in their life. And they don't even know that I've got it, but I'm going to bring him. So you go out the door with complete purpose. Complete purpose. And things just that you used to have to struggle to do, now it just becomes easier because there's grace. Grace is for a race. It's for a purpose. So if you don't have any grace on your life, if you're like, oh my God, I'm so heavy, I can't do anything, it's because there's no purpose for the grace. So you connect your job to a purpose. You connect your weight loss to a purpose. You connect your health and fitness regimen to a purpose. And all of a sudden, there's grace. And grace means ease. Things just got easier. And every word in here is a container of grace. It comes with the power to do it. Okay, so if you say, I'm dead to sin, I'm dead to sin, I'm dead to sin, alive to God, alive to God, alive to God, dead to sin, alive to God, dead to sin, alive to God. You don't have to know the reference. Those are words of life. And those words have grace in them. And you say that enough, say it three times in a row without stopping, every minute, no. You will experience some serious energy in you, and it is like alive and active, and it's doing something. Are you fully persuaded that what he has promised, he is faithful to finish, to do, to perform? Only when you come into agreement with that is it going to happen. You can't. He cannot violate your will. So even though he said it, he still gave authority to you. He cannot override the authority that he's given to you. How awful is that for him? He's like, here, I gave you everything for life and godliness. Everything for life, health, and abundance, and godliness, to be like him. I've given you all of it. But if you don't take it, there's nothing I can do. So he has to watch his kids killing themselves. Even though they have $1 million in the bank, they don't know it's theirs, and so they haven't gone and picked it up. Right? Is this helping? Okay. So he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Just don't forget. John 14:6. There's supposed to be an E in that. It's funny, when I look at that name without the E, it's like not me. Isn't that weird? Are you guys like that with your spelling of your name? It's weird. But it's okay, totally okay. I just still think it's odd because I went, oh, that's so funny to me. Okay, so will you open to Ephesians 1? Have we read the Bible yet? I'm sorry. I have so much scripture in here. Okay, Ephesians 1:15. Now, you might have been praying this for a long time because I kind of think the body of Christ comes to certain revelations as a whole. And I think a few, am I done? Oh, my gosh, you guys. Okay, let's pray. Can I just leave you with three more? He's the way, the truth, and the life. And then the kingdom of God. This is my last super important point. The kingdom of God is what? Romans 14:17. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So that's your weight loss strategy. Maintain your righteousness in Christ, your identity in Christ. Be led by peace in all that you do. And be strengthened by the joy of the Lord. Let his joy, he delights in you. He wants you prosperous and abundant and healthy and happy. Okay. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now and praise you, praise you, praise you. We praise you, God, for what you've done. Oh my goodness, to think that we carry your life. Resurrection life, that we've got the keys to the kingdom. You've revealed mysteries to us, God, that the world doesn't know. And it's not our job to go out there and preach. It's our job to apply them in our own lives and experience this life that you died to give us, God. Let the wisdom and the revelation of you just overcome us, just flood our minds, that we would never, ever see that old man resurrected again, that we would walk in the fullness of your life in us, that it truly would be you living and not us, God. Thank you for the power. Thank you for the discipline, the self-control, the ability to choose. And thank you that you are faithful with all that's committed to you. So I commit every lady into your hands right now. And thank you for your faithfulness that you're going to perfect every concern, that she's going to cast it all and know who she is in you. We love you so much. And we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.